It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hanson, your host. Well, today is the final chapter in our five-part series in which we're talking with the five Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors individually. It's a chance to hear straight from the board members about issues facing their specific district and the county as a whole. We're joined in studio today by District 1 Supervisor Mike Holland, who represents the greater Sonora area. Supervisor Holland, it's good to have you on Motherlode Views.
Thank you, BJ. Thank you for having me. Always enjoy coming down here and talking to you guys.
So you took office just about 11 months ago. So how would you describe the experience of being a Board of Supervisor?
I would say it's like being at the radio, or the rodeo, and riding a bronco.
Okay,
it has been very interesting. It's been kind of a wild 10 or 11 months. I think I was expecting a little dysfunction. Did not quite realize the level of stuff that was going on, or things that need to be addressed and cleaned up for the citizens.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you've attended any of our meetings, you know that the county administrator, the former county administrator, got resigned about 7 days into our term. That means Steve took office. Other things, I mean, there's been a lot of people getting resigned. The things just need to get cleaned up. I mean, I don't think that our government was working for the people. I think that's apparent. That's why they elected somebody like me. You know, I am not a pro super friendly government person. I'm a more like the government should be in the background, like a computer program just running in the background, not bothering people. And I think that's not what was going on. And I think our citizens have become very frustrated. The wasting of money was just outrageous, which in this last 10 months, is, if you've watched any of our board meetings, has become very clear what's going on. And so I just like to call it as it is, because I think that's what people want to hear and that's what they want to see. You know, I think they to get trust back in the government. So when a situation comes up, like, and I'll use an example, and I am not a pro increased tax person, but the county has tried this 5 times and it has failed 5 times. And I would venture in my opinion that most people is because they don't trust where the money's going, because they would be told one thing and then something else would happen. And that I don't think that, like, you know, they're always trying to sell this, that this was for law enforcement, fire, and roads, and the money would be siphoned off into elevators and other pet projects. And I just don't think that's what the people wanted, and that's why they kept voting no for it. I mean, there might be a time when we need to go to the citizens and tell them that. And when we do that, we want them to believe us and trust us. And I think that is why a lot of us are working really hard on cleaning this up and having those tough conversations. And it does look like it's a chaotic mess in the meetings, but we're not allowed to talk to each other. We can only talk to one other board member outside of the meetings. So the only time we get to have the conversations about this stuff is in the meetings. So, you know, that's why it looks a little messy sometimes. But we can dive into specifics if you like about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, so it was kind of surprising when you got into office going through the budgets and just finding various different things that were concerning to you.
It was very concerning. I mean, I can give you a couple examples, you know, like, you know, there's an old saying, you know, the good old boys network, right? Well, really it was the good old women's network or girls network in the county. And so there was literally things were being told to the board and then things were being undone. So you can take like the sheriff's department's budget. There was millions of dollars being siphoned out of the sheriff's department budget and putting into pet projects. Things like, again, I'll point out the elevator. So it was brought to the board that the sheriff's department needed a new dispatch center. They voted on doing that. Then after that got approved, the documentation got switched out and the money was being used for an elevator instead. And then it got found out because the sheriff had to apply to the state, you know, for grants and some other funding and stuff. And they said, well, where is the rest of the funding coming from? And that's how it got discovered, that these documents were being swapped out and done. And so, again, I'm not saying these things are criminal. They are just not best practices, possibly unethical. You know, hiring practices were not good. And, you know, we had a county council that was kind of just papering over it, letting it go instead of throwing a flag on the play. And so it's really taken a change in the board this last election to bring a lot of this to light. It's, you know, if you come to the meetings, you get bits and pieces of it and you can see what's been going on. It isn't really good. And so I think that the people want accountability from the government. I think this goes on a local level to a national level. I mean, I know, I mean, you were talking a little bit before the show here, and, you know, we have such an amazing little town here, right? And just our government should really be working with the people to make life better here. And I'm not 100% sure everyone was on board. I'm not saying our employees are bad, because we have, you know, we have 700 employees. Most are absolutely wonderful. They want to do all the right thing. But, you know, we have some that need to get resigned and move on. So, you know, I look at things kind of like with the change in the board, you know, especially like me and Steve there, we're kind of like, if you look at a forest, you need a fire to come through, and you need it to burn out the underbrush so new flowers can bloom, new trees can grow. And that's kind of what's going on, is we're burning out that old, wicked, nasty underbrush so that way new life can grow. Just the same way the forest, same way that we're treating the forest, from keeping it from burning down. And that's what needs to happen, and you see that going on a local level to a national level. Changes are happening. You know, we have to live within our means. I mean, we do not have the ability to go print and go get more money. And I think it's not really apparent to people how close or how little money our government has put away, that our local government has. We couldn't even cover payroll for 1 month if we had to, which I don't think is a good – I don't think anybody wants the government in that position.
So how are you feeling about just kind of the future of Tuolumne County? As you mentioned, you've been on the job for about 11 months now. Steve Griefer was a new supervisor as well. There's been a lot of change on the board. You know, looking forward after what's happened in the first 11 months, you know, how are you feeling looking forward?
I think we still have a few more changes to go. I think we are getting in a new direction. I would hope that we would have more more kind of come together on the board on these issues, because I think a lot of times they get treated kind of like political issues, which is weird, because, you know, most of this is budget driven, and budget is just numbers. It's just money. It's real simple, right? It's either we have it or we don't. And just a constant undergirding of trust going on because of accusations and stuff like that. And so, but I think in the future, I think I am optimistic. I'm always an optimistic person, that I believe we're going to get there through just sheer will and grit. You know, you got to have a steel spine to be sitting there. I mean, you got to sit there and smile. And I kind of wish that we would have as many people show up to the meeting that would want to get involved when we're talking about social issues versus our budget issues. Because really the budget is the more important of everything we do. Everything drives out of the budget. You want to pave a road? Down to budget. You want to put up a stop sign? Comes out of the budget. There's nothing we do that doesn't involve a dollar behind it. And so it'd be nice to have more involvement, more creative thinking involved. It's easy to show up and drop a fancy slogan of just do it or something like that that doesn't have anything behind it, right? Like I'm very much open to listening. If you have an idea, like, and that goes from our staff to the general public, of like how the government can be more, how the county government can be more efficient, better use of the money, and be meaningful about that, right? Just say, well, stop paying everybody. Okay, well, that's okay. That is a suggestion, but that's not the reality of the fact, right? So I think we're very focused on growth. I think we very much want to hang up a sign that says we're open for business. Because if you look at, like we were talking about a minute ago, you cannot pass a tax measure. So the only way we can increase revenue to be able to afford to do more things is through some responsible growth, right? And so, and I've never want, you know, I've lived here my whole life. I don't want to see Sonora look like Stockton or down in the valley, right? But we need to have some reasonable growth. We need more housing. Housing is a huge problem up here. Well, every time we build a house, think about what our tax base goes up to. Schools get more money. The county gets more money. It works better for everybody. So we get money for permits and all that stuff. So I think that's where we need to focus it. We need to bring businesses in, and we need to, you know, we really need to work on these type of things to bring more money in. That's just the avenue that I see we need to go, and I think we're going to get there.
So you're born to bring more money in, but as you mentioned too, do you think that that culture element was just something that was holding the county back?
I think very much that there was very much a culture thing that was going on down there. I don't think the government was working for the people. I think there was a mindset of a lot of people that the people were there to serve the government, and it was more self-serving than doing the stuff. As I said, I think the government should be working in the background quietly. You know, I mean, that shouldn't be our number one focus here in the county. It should be businesses and other type of growth than growth through the government. I mean, the numbers bear out the facts. Right. We, you know, if you were to go back in 18 months ago, they were predicting something like that coming into this coming year or whatever, we'd have like a $10 million shortfall. $10 million, BJ. out of the general fund, which is like runs around $70 million. We closed that gap down to $76,000. So we had to use $76,000 from last year's money to balance it. And you'll hear claims, oh, we balance the budget every year, but you got to look that you got to do the follow-up question. Well, how did you balance that? Well, they're always having to take money from savings because you have vacancies and positions and stuff like that, or over budgeting to balance the next year. And I really have driven this philosophy of, with the money we bring in is the money we should be able to spend that year. And that's it. You know, if we're bringing in, I'm just going to make up a couple of numbers here, $100 million a year, then our budget better not be any more than $100 million. And so, because if you're having to constantly take from last year to try to fund the next year, just on not like one-time expenditure, but ongoing operational expenses, that is the definition of a structural deficit. Nobody can runs a business that way, and nobody runs their personal household that way. That's how you go bankrupt. You know, and I'm different on the board because I come from the private sector. So I look at things from a business lens of the government is basically just big business. So we need to be successful. Now, we don't need to make profits, but we just can't deficit spend. You know, we need to put some money away, start paying down these debts. They have a, you know, I mean, we had to take $518,000 this year for the budget or for the current year to put towards an elevator in the old courthouse. And we have to do that four more times after this just to pay that back for an elevator that currently we're not using at all.
Need to take a quick break here. We're talking to Supervisor Mike Holland on this weekend's Motherload Views. It is part five in our five-part series, talking with the individual supervisors about issues facing their district and the county as a whole. If you missed any of the past shows, you can find those archived in the media section of mymotherload.com. Motherload Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. This is the final segment in our five-part series, talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors, joined in studio by Mike Holland, who represents District 1, which is the greater Sonora area. Supervisor Holland, during the first segment, we talked a lot about budget and just kind of your acclimation to becoming a board member and some changes in the county. I want to get to kind of some specific District 1 issues during this segment here. As I mentioned, District 1 is primarily the greater Sonora area. Are there any like specific projects or things that you're working on for District 1?
No, District 1's great. I mean, it's basically the heart of our community, heart of our county. Has most all the major retails down here in District 1. The government seat buildings are down here. The city is, you know, obviously here in Sonora, which takes up a large chunk of District 1. There are some exciting stuff coming to District 1 area. There's some new retail businesses or businesses that are coming, and just before everyone gets on, which I don't do Facebook and all that, but my wife tells me everyone talks about Trader Joe's. It's not Trader Joe's coming, and we're not getting an In-N-Out burger. But I think the couple names we are getting, I think people will be very happy about. But I don't want to steal their thunder yet because they want to make announcements and all that. So I think that's exciting for our community. That is showing growth, like we're talking about, in the positive way. More tax base, more tax dollars. So that's good. But again, it's not Trader Joe's, so that way no one gets all...
Everybody always asks. Yes.
Everyone always asks. I don't know what's with Trader Joe's, but everybody loves Trader Joe's.
So you are in the city of Sonora that are connected with the city of Sonora in many ways. How would you describe the city-county relationship? Because in past years, there's always kind of been some friction there.
Yeah, I don't think in, you know, my predecessor's term was my predecessor's term, and there seemed like there was a lot of friction, and I think it had to do with the previous county administration and many other things. I think that relationship is vastly improving. I know on a personal level, I try to get along with all the city council members. I try to attend at least one meeting a month. I go there. You know, sometimes I talk to them and give them presentations. They all have my number. They all call me. We talk to each other. So I think we are improving that relationship, at least on that level. I know I've been invited to join them for the lighting of the Christmas tree downtown and ride in the city truck with them for the parade and all that. And I'm super fortunate that the mayor, Ann, has invited me to do that. You know, but I keep it very straight and honest with them, right? We're not going to agree on everything, but we can be respectful and we can have open communications, and where we agree, we work on something, and where we don't, we don't, right? Because that's just, we have two different interests, and but our interests are always being what's best for the citizens, right? We might just have different views from it. So I think that's improving. My relationship with the city manager is really good. And so I think we're getting there. I think that's getting repaired and that's getting better. Hopefully that trust they have with me will start to spread with the other county departments. You know, the city was very great. They recently have changed garbage contracts, different companies, and they were gracious enough that they did a carve out for all the county buildings that we can still be serviced under waste management, because waste management essentially serviced the county buildings for free because that's part of their franchise agreement. So it's still saving the county money. The city did not have to do that, and they did that. So I'm very grateful, and I went to their meeting and thanked them for that. And so that's a great example of the city and the county working together, and hopefully build on that and see what else we can get done. So, yeah, I think it's positive. I think we're going in the right direction.
You know, one thing that's been talked about in the city of Sonora is a possible north-south connector, possibly even before you were born. But I'm curious your thoughts on that project and if you think that has any merits moving forward.
So I believe that project got started around the year I did get born. So that would be 1974, if anyone was interested. So 50 years now, they've been talking about the north-south connector. They have done, I think, about 5 studies on it. And like all good studies, one will tell you one thing and the next one will tell you something else. And so, but over the 50 years, the need for things have changed, right? I mean, I can remember back when I was a kid, every other vehicle coming through downtown was a logging truck. And that has slowed down. You don't see that as much. And where it's going to come through Greenlee, we now have a massive hospital there. The sheriff's department keeps their vehicles over there. The ambulance service is over there. So, and Sonora Elementary is there. So Greenlee is a very crowded road. And the concept for north-south connector, as I know it, is it was to help relieve traffic downtown, especially the big rigs, and doesn't necessarily achieve that goal. So the county and the city, we kind of put a pause on everything so we could stop and have a conversation, not spend any more money, not waste any tax dollars of the people's money, and say, okay, well, is there a different project maybe we pivot to that would be better than this, or is this the best project and should we continue down this road? So that meeting, I think, is coming up sometime in the next few weeks, that there's going to be 4 or 5 or 6 of us sit down, have a conversation, and kind of really decide about if that's the best direction, or do we try to pivot and work on something jointly that would achieve better goals. So, yeah, we're getting there.
Getting into the issue of fire a little bit, you know, the SAFER grant funding, as far as I know, is going to be expiring pretty soon. That's one of those issues where grant funding came, the county spent it on fire, and then it's kind of going away. I'm curious your thoughts just on moving forward on how to fund fire and make ends meet, and just kind of your thoughts moving forward.
So I catch a lot of heat over this, PJ, because in our meeting, I was the one that spoke up and said, you know, it's not that I want to cut Cal Fire or get rid of this or that. It's just about, I always just try to have the good, honest conversation. How do we afford this? What does this look like? Which, if we want to spend, you know, the full contract, which is like 11 some million dollars, we can do that. But something's going to have to give somewhere else. That is just the reality of facts, right? And to me, you know, the SAFER grant does run out in around March. So we have about 3 months where right now we budgeted out of the taxpayer dollars, the people's money, to cover all current positions in Cal Fire until the end of the fiscal year, which would be July 1st. And so there were zero reductions. It was one of our board members, you know, Supervisor Campbell, has accused the other 4 of us of cutting Cal Fire's budget. That is not true. 100% not true. What we did was they had budgeted extra money in there. And back on August 5th, we had a meeting. And you can go watch the August 5th meeting where actually Supervisor Campbell made the motion that if it was in the sheriff's budget or the Cal Fire budget, just like we do with any other general fund budget, if they had excess money from the previous year, it rolls back to the general fund for the 5 of us to make a decision what to do with it. And so come now December 22nd meeting, the reason why he made that motion was he was concerned if there was excess money and we had to go basically claw it back, it would look like we were reducing the sheriff's budget or reducing Cal Fire's or the fire department's budget. And that just wasn't true. It was excess funds. And so on September 22nd, that's what happened when we were approving the budget. The excess balance was to roll back. And he basically accused the other 4 of us of defunding them, which was just not true. There has not been one single position cut from the fire department. We had 52 and a half positions last year, and we have 52 and a half positions fully funded this year. And on top of that, because I'm intimately involved in the budget, I'm on the the finance committee and stuff like that, we actually put an extra $250,000 in the fire budget to start putting money away to have to buy a new fire truck when that day comes, because those things are, you know, $1.5 million. So we're actually budgeting extra money in there so we can buy equipment. And so, but what I think we need to do is we need to have a conversation about, you know, if that SAFER grant's not going to come through, because if you go back and look 3 years ago, all the board members at that time said, well, when the budget runs out, the positions are ran out. But what we have heard is the people saying we want fire service, right? Because we don't want to burn down, which I am all for. But we need to have a conversation of how that affects our budget and where that money is going to come from. And it just seems like people just want to put their head in the sand and ignore that fact instead of having a plan in place and moving forward of what that looks like. Do we need to trim a little bit? Maybe. You know, not, I don't know. But that's where the five of us need to have this open conversation and let the people weigh in. And they need to understand if we're going to fund this, what does it look like on the other side? Because as I said, there's only X amount of dollars and we don't have enough to do everything we want to do. We just need to have a plan. So that's going on with fire.
We're going to take one more break here. We're talking with Supervisor Mike Holland of District 1 on this weekend show. It's part of our five-part series, speaking with the individual supervisors. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're talking with District 1 Supervisor Mike Holland on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Supervisor Holland, you had a town hall meeting a while back about environmental health matters. I'm curious if you can kind of get us up to speed about what you were kind of looking into, how that issue all came to your attention, and what you're kind of moving forward now.
Yeah, so what happened was I was actually gone on vacation, and like I mentioned before, I don't do social media and all that stuff. But my wife had said all of a sudden she was seeing all these postings about, and it really had to do with some restaurants here in town and some of the tattoo shops here in town. And they were really upset about the fee increase. The fee increase got done, I believe it was in December, right before we got on the board, that these fees went up. And so some of the fees went up by 300%. So a lot of people were upset about this, right? Because we were charging a little tiny grocery store, maybe the size of your studio here, the same fees we would charge to a Walmart or a Save Mart or something like that. So there's really this big imbalance. And so she would say, man, there's a lot of people mad about all this stuff. And I was like, maybe I better have a meeting, right? Because, I mean, how else do you solve things? Mm-hmm. So when I got back from vacation, I'm like, let's schedule this. I just did it out of the blue like 3 days after I got back, or a week or something like that. And so we kind of threw this together improv. We had a really good turnout. I think we had probably like between 40 and 60 people there up in our boardroom, kind of just sat in a big circle and just kind of talked, right? Nothing real formal, just an informal conversation about like what the problems were and really about how we could solve them. And what I got out of that was most people weren't upset the fees. They understood fees had to go up, but it was a lot of them having to go up 300% in 1 year. They thought that was unfair, and I agree with them. And I'm really hoping the rest of our board will agree with that, because I think that's wrong. Because it was this mindset about how much money the county could bring in instead of really the best level of service we could offer. And so we have directed the director to come back, and I believe that's going to happen in the next meeting or two, and we're going to propose a reduction in those fees and a more modest increase. Because as I said, through those conversations, everyone realized, yes, county costs go up like everyone else's, and they were okay with that, but it was about the exorbitant level. And we're talking about changing, like we're not charging a little tiny grocery store in Groveland that's 75 square feet the same price that we charge Save Mart or something like that. And so because we want every business to survive and grow. So that's kind of what that's about, and it had to do with some environmental health issues and some other stuff, but that's some personnel stuff we'll get into down the road. But
yeah, you know, we've got a few more minutes left on this weekend's Motherload Views. You know, getting back to the budget, I know you've been going through it. What are some other things that kind of just have caught your attention just going through the budget?
Well, we find some, as I would say, not best practices is the way I like to say it, or misuse. So we have a policy, you know, when you go, like if a county employee is going off to a conference or a meeting outside the county, they can go spend money on lunch or dinner. There's an allocation that's built into there. You know, it's X amount of dollars, but they can only use it outside of the county. And so when I started looking through the budget items, and I just looked in a couple, and so I pulled some examples from one department and one department only, which right now we'll leave that a nameless department. So, and we found that they were using their credit card within the county, $255 at the Outpost, $56 at St. Charles Saloon, $125 at Togo's, $43 at Snorer Brewing. Let's see what else. Save Mart, $60. And one of my favorite ones actually did charge outside the county was Hooters. $65 to Hooters. You know, maybe they have great wings, but maybe that's not the best thing to put on the county credit card. And so I think this is a good example where the people of the county do not want their tax dollars being spent like this. And I think we have to get back to the mindset of this is the people's money. And so when we get like union leaders coming up there and yelling about this, I want to sit and have a conversation with them. So, well, these are your members, some people that are doing this, and realize we're all in this together and we need to stop stuff like this so we have funding to do other things, right? Like, you know, like I look at this way. I'm here to do the people's work, right? It's not my money. I nothing changes in my life about this, but we got to be able to fund our government on a proper level, and we have to be sustainable and long-term. How, if we do not fix these problems on a fundamental level, how are we ever going to be able to fund more road funding, more raises for employees? Like, I get the cost of everything's going up and we need to address it, but we have to get the house in order to be able to do that. And we're getting close to that point. And so I am pleased about that, but I think we are heading in the right direction. But these things need to be pointed out, called out, because these are the taxpayers' money that is being misspent. I mean, it's just, again, a lot of this got signed off, and I think that's why a lot of people have gotten resigned over this.
Yeah, you're probably really scratching your head going through those reports. Do you cry or do you laugh? It's like one of those things, you know?
It's frustration because of my personal point of view on things. Like, I get, you know, like I hate paying taxes to start with, right? But then I see that my tax dollars are going to Hooters, or, you know, I mean, at least a lot of this got spent on our local county. So at least so there's the bright spot. So maybe some more tax revenue came from there. But I think we need to get back to the basics, following the policies. I know if we were in the private sector, these people probably wouldn't have jobs anymore for violating the policies, right? Or at least there'd be a stern talking to about the situation. So I said, this is just one little small sample. I'm sure if we went countywide, it'd be interesting what we find. But I think everyone needs to pull together, bygones be bygones, and we just need to move in a positive direction and clean this up. And I think we're getting there. I really do.
Well, we've come to the near end. Any closing comments in this last minute you'd like to make?
I think I am hopeful for the future. I think I do laugh sometimes, BJ, about what gets everyone up in arms in our town, right? We do have such an amazing place we live in. Like, I know we were talking about it before. We have such natural beauty, such a cool little town. And I think we're going to move in the right direction where the people will feel good that the county is addressing their concerns. You know, and they told us what the concerns are. It's going to be law enforcement, fire, and fixing the roads. We just have to have the tough conversation of how we do that in a long-term sustainable way. But yeah, I'm optimistic for the future.
Supervisor Holland, we appreciate your time coming in today.
Thank you, BJ.
Again, we thank Supervisor Mike Holland. That is the final segment of our series featuring the five individual Tuolumne County supervisors. A reminder, if you miss any of these shows, you can find them archived in the media section of mymotherload.com. Supervisor Holland's show will be there as well very shortly. Motherload Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Programming note, next week on Motherload Views, we're going to be talking with Assemblyman David Tongipah. We're going to get his take on whatever happens on Tuesday's election with Prop 50, whether that passes or if it goes down in defeat. He's also going to be talking about some fire insurance matters and a ballot measure that he is also pushing that calls for voter ID in the state of California. We're going to get talking about a number of items next week with Assemblyman Tongipah. We'll see you back for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.